one of the things that absolutely was instrumental in my urban development. It opened up dynamic new avenues and real new possibilities, which is why I'm still passionate about the work that artists do in a whole variety of participatory settings. You just never know when and how you're going to impact people, and it really can be transformational. And I always cite myself as an example, as a little girl from Dulwich, which is just up the road from here, who through exposure to the arts has managed to just find and carve a whole new career. As you may know, some of you, I had the pleasure of spending 5 years as the director of the Cultural Leadership Programme, and this collaboration with Paul Hamlin was actually one of the last things that we managed to get on the books before the programme closed, but we were determined to do it. The Cultural Leadership Programme was a rare thing in the cultural sector. It was a government investment in leadership development. Now that in itself is rare, but I think one of the most rare things was that it was actually timely. It was an investment that came just a little while after asking. We're so used in our sector to asking and asking and asking for support to develop activities, and by the time the resources come, you're burnt out and exhausted. So this was a real pleasure, and this is one of the things that Gordon Brown did do right. It's the worst of things. And this is one of the things that he absolutely got right in putting forward some investment that allowed us to experiment. There weren't 1,000 caveats and rules and rings around it. We could actually be quite responsive. So from the outset, we determined that we would be set up a dispersed model of leadership. We would not sort of go down one route, but we would actually offer multiple points of access and a variety of leadership activities. Our mantra was really that one size would not fit all. So we thought of leadership as a crazy painting or a bit of a patchwork quilt, and encouraged a whole range of professionals at different stages in their careers and working in different areas of the cultural sector. What we wanted was to create a dynamic series of opportunities that reflected the dynamism of the sector that we work in. Most importantly, I think, we encouraged and facilitated learning by doing. That means we made it up as we went along. And Nicola and I will sort of tell you about the peach placements, for instance, writing the criteria as we were working through. As many of us experience, there isn't always time to plan it out, map it all out, get it neatly formed, and then deliver. And it's far more creative, far more in tune with the way that our sector and artists in our sector work, to actually go with it live and direct and capture. And because we were working with creative people, that became a really useful interactive process of learning. Learning for us and learning for our partners. The majority of cultural leadership programs did tackle what I guess we might call the executive side of leadership. Traditional management and leadership aspects that would really be moved towards people who are heading towards a chief executive role or an arts manager type of role. But one of the things that we most enjoyed was the rare opportunity to experiment and to explore. Now, for boring administrator types like me, that's where the creativity comes in. And, you know, not everyone thinks of managing resources as being creative, but it's there, believe me, trust me. And here I do want to pay tribute to the work that Nicola did as Assistant Director of the Cultural Leadership Programme, because we were very much partners in crime in this journey of exploration. And Nicola, in fact, led on this particular area of artistic leadership. We were fortunate, I think, to be able to ask genuine questions and genuinely explore without anticipating the answers, as again, we so often have to do. Tony Robinson, who's an American motivational speaker, says, "Quality questions create a quality life. Successful people ask better questions, and as a result, they get better answers." And when I heard that one, I thought, yeah, that's it, that's what we will do. And I believe that one of the successes of the Cultural Leadership Programme was that we asked quality questions, and we asked them a few times, and we asked them lots of different about leadership as process, leadership as intention. Well, the books aren't written for that, so you've got to write the script. How relevant is it to offer fundamental management and leadership training for those who are working as much in the dance studio or directing workshops as they are managing people, budgets and masters? And most critically, how do you support them to continue to lead creatively rather than just train them as managers? It is a dynamic question, and the answers, believe me, are seriously dynamic and diverse. And I return to the CRB mantra that one size does not fit all. So we stay with a journey of exploration, and we stay in the terrain of questions for a very long time, not coming up with answers as such, but rather creating a series of opportunities for artists, diverse range of artists, to So our first question was with Performing Arts Lab. And with PAL, we queried, how do you support artists working in cross-disciplinary settings? Suzanne Benn, who's here today, states, finding space, time and resources to undertake groundbreaking experimental collaborative work with one's peers in other disciplines is a rare experience in the creative industries. So with PAL, we used a series of interdisciplinary workshops, dialogues and creative opportunities to explore the ways that artists can lead through innovations in practice. And I'm delighted to see that PAL is now offering three new labs: Chaos Labs for scientists and artists, Food Lab for scientists, artists, foods and educators, cooks and educators, foods, and the Game Lab to design the next generation of intelligent games. Check it out, and I'm sure Susan will be here we'll be happy to speak to you further. But I also remember a question I asked of Siobhan Davis when we were trying to shape placements for artists based on our very successful Peach placement model. How would that work, I asked? Would there be any benefit in having another choreographer working alongside you, both in the dance studio as well as in the boardroom? Can you define a set of leadership competences that would capture the elements that they need to learn in the multifaceted role that you occupy as choreographer and artistic director and CEO of your organisation? Well, I asked similar questions of David Lamb at the Young Vic, and we did support the Associate Director Scheme, which addresses exactly the skills and approaches you learn by working closely over a period of time with an artistic leader whose business is to lead both the art and the organisation. We did explore a range of artistic placements, a combination of artist in residence and leadership development. So following open recruitment, Helen Carnack, Nina Edge, and Kate Fox were placed in three organisations, Craftspace, FACT, and New Writing North respectively. And we had to work with both the artists and the organisations to ensure that the leadership development that they were gaining worked right the way across the artistic spectrum. Helen has written about the placements on the CRB Legacy Work website, Leadership Works, and her essay, Into the Unknown, perfectly captures the challenges we faced in trying to deliver something that was both supportive and yet challenging for an artist leading through practice. And I'll just read you a little bit from what Helen writes. She says, at times I was kept out, as if I may cause trouble if I was let in to really have a look around. But I was also reticent and didn't want to get drawn in. I did not necessarily want to follow organisational models, but I was curious. I was not wanting to act as though I was the leader of something. I was discovering something through this process. Engaging in the placement, which has been refreshingly open in places and disappointingly closed in others, the learning for me has come from questioning perceptions and experiences in projects that I've been involved with over the last year through a leadership lens. That was a very instructional phrase for me, a leadership lens, because it works in that it captures the notion of seeing things differently, of gaining perspective and adaptability. And that adaptability is, of course, really critical if you're going to lead through practice. Our final questions were with method, Now, David's going to speak to you shortly, so I won't grab his words or his specs, but I will share two critical aspects that David drew out for me. The first was about terminology. The language of leadership that we currently use does not overtly embrace the artist, so we need to work extra hard to ensure that artists feel included. And the second was about the crucial importance of relationships and partnerships in supporting creativity and creative people. It requires nurturing, and it requires leveling the playing field, not the traditional hierarchies that dominate our sector. So what did we learn about supporting artist practitioners as leaders? I think first of all we learned humility, because we worked with so many amazing people. It was a real pleasure to find the ways that we could best support them. We certainly learned about the need to create openings rather than directions for leadership. We learned to walk forward without a clear map, but to trust in our knowledge and to trust in the process. And finally, we affirmed that staying with the questions was the best place to be. And this collaboration with Paul Hamlin allows us to stay with the questions, even though the programme has closed. Being curious and asking questions is not the standard model for a leadership programme, but it was one that I think really suited this sector and absolutely suited this area of development. CLP sought not simply to be a provider of programmes, but to be a creative innovator and an agent for change. So the diversity of the vision, the comprehensive range of access points, and the grounding in research and innovation were important markers in our development of what I like to call our ecology of leadership practice, one that embraces the leader and also the artist as creator and leader in a dynamic interplay of skills and aptitudes.